time you stop buying land?
The power is going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs.
Oh, I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860. And as you know, our signal serves the Philadelphia and tri-state area of southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as always, I ask that you contact family and friends and invite them to tune in so that we can have another hour of power today. And if you know people, text them, say tune in, and we will send a copy of today's broadcast out after today's show. First of all, I want to say a special thank you to members of our panel, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, marketing a very special event this week. Larkin Conley is our national small business advocate. And of course, Bruce Bassett Powell has been with us, giving his opinions on various things. And we have also greetings from Rich Logis, who's on a special assignment. He is the principal of RJL Technology. Henry Chaplinsky is our engineer, and I'm Michael Blihash. First of all, once I want to say thank you to everybody for spreading the word about everything that we're doing, especially the broadcast site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com. That's really done a lot of great things for us. And I also would like to say thank you to the many radio broadcasters that pick up my weekly commentary, either play the audio and some read the actual commentary and have things to say on their particular areas. And that's wonderful. That's really what it's all about. And I do welcome people's comments, and I do use many of them in various commentaries or during the broadcast. You can send them to michael@americanworkersradio.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, first I want to say thank you to the candidates for mayor of Philadelphia, Alan Dahm and Jeff Brown, for coming to the studio to be interviewed, and many of the people who saw the interviews liked what they saw. And of course, we did receive responses from all the other candidates who urged everyone to go out and vote in the Pennsylvania primary election. That was yesterday, Tuesday, May the 16th. Well, here we are, Wednesday, May the 17th, and the election in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania are now history. The winner of the primary election for mayor on the Democratic ticket was Sherelle Parker, a former state of Pennsylvania representative and a member of the Philadelphia City Council for about 8 years. And we extend congratulations to Sherelle Parker and best wishes to the Democratic candidate for mayor. And we'll see all the things that'll be happening between now and November. The Republican candidate for mayor is David O, who you know has been on our broadcast in the past. And the general election will be taking place in November. And I'll be talking more about November in the near future. And of course, we will invite everybody to come on at special times and let them speak up about the campaign season as we get closer. And of course, I'd like to see the entire end of this spring, beginning of summer, and through the summer and into the fall be used by the candidates to really go out of their way to let people know what's going on. This was a very interesting election because there were so many people who had interviews. They were on various forums. It was just very, very interesting. And that's what it's really all about. We have to continue to push that forward in the future. And this here and many of the other stations in the Philadelphia area are welcoming to come on, and I'm going to be listening and participating. So, and that's what I really enjoy, knowing that our station and our information sharing has done such a good job. I would just like to say that Armed Forces Day is taking place this Saturday. It's always the third Saturday of May. So this Saturday, May the 20th, we're marking National Armed Forces Day, and it's a time to unite and salute all of America's active forces. In fact, every year since 1949, the third Saturday of May has been observed as Armed Forces Day. And in 1949, it was Harry Truman, who was the President of the United States, began Armed Forces Day to honor all of America's armed forces. And they include the Army, the Marines, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and all the others that are armed forces that represent the United States of America. To celebrate our efforts, I'm going to encourage all of you to fly your flags now through Veterans Day in November. That's, you know, very important to us to show our support. Now, on this Saturday, the 13th anniversary of the Made in America store is taking place under the command of our very own Mark Andel. And I'm going to ask Mark Andel to command a report from all of what's going on at his place. Mark, thank you for being such a wonderful man on our broadcast and for all you're doing to help American workers. I learned one thing through all of this election and the poor turnout and everything else, is that people love to complain, but they don't like to participate. So as Larkin would say, when you get 20 to 23% of the people out to vote, they're mainly the people who are participating. The others complain but don't show up. But Mark, this is a big day for you. It's Armed Forces Day. How's everything happening with your all of your celebrations up there in the great state of New York?
How you doing, Mike? And thanks for the kind words, as always. And, you know, welcome, I think, Larkin's on, Bruce and Henry. Yeah, things are going great. We're praying for good weather. You know how the events go, but we have them anyway. You know, we're excited. The team's working hard. We had an open house at our General Welding last week. You know, it's a free lunch, and had a lot of great people show up and gave a lot of great tours through the plant. And now we're looking forward to this this big event Saturday. It starts at about 11 o'clock for us, and we'll go to about 3 o'clock. We got Ricky Lee and his one guitarist coming up, Chip, and that'll be nice for the music. And we've got a barbecue company called Chevetta's up here, outstanding. That'll get the air smelling good. And misters, we got food trucks and about 22 vendors and channel ox from your state. They're going to bring tools and samples and Yingling beer. Pretty excited about coming up. And a lot of book signings and just great Americans that make great products, and they come and represent their products. We also have a big surprise. We got the Honor Guard. We always have the Honor Guard do the ceremony at 1 o'clock, but we also have some Purple Heart recipients. We're home base for Buffalo Niagara Honor Flight, and they're going to have a special flight in June, June 15th and 16th. It'll be an overnight, but it's going to be 30-plus Purple Heart recipients, and we're going to have a bunch of them at our event this Saturday to honor them before they go on their flight. So that's going to make our ceremony really special. Mike, on Armed Forces Day, and, you know, we do a lot. We're home base for Gold Star Mothers and, you know, just do a lot of great things, but it'll be great to have these heroes there. And, you know, it's free family fun. People come out. My buddies bring the cornhole. And, of course, we got free beer samples being given out by Resurgence and Yingling. So that'll make it a good event, Mike. So a lot going on. We're almost at 14,000 products, which is amazing if you look at 13 years since we started. You know, back in 2010, we opened April 3rd, 2010, and we only had 50 products then. And, you know, we're 500-600 documented interviews from World News 4 times, Fox and Friends 7 times, and it keeps going on and on. And I just had our top news company call us, Jack Walker. She's the head of Anchor of Buffalo, and they asked me to be on studio tomorrow. So it's an honor. You know, people respect what we're doing, and we've got a great community, Mike. So we're excited about that day. And you know, I respect our veterans, so it's a big day for Armed Forces First and all those that are serving and keeping us safe and free. So a lot going on, Mike. You know, in the times, I want to talk to you a little bit about the worker shortage, if we could.
You know, let me tell you this, Mark. I'm amazed with this worker shortage. I really am. The amount of people that are there listed in the actual unemployed, which you can see on the American debt clock, and that's not done by me or you, that's done by the government. it says this many people unemployed and this many people still unemployed, long-term unemployed. There's no reason for that. And they're still not saying honestly what is going on with the people retiring every day. It seems that they want to pretend that it's not happening. And they want to give a report every month that says, oh, we got 175,000 or 250,000 new jobs this month. Those jobs are not new. And the actual unemployment rate has not changed because those jobs are not new. People are playing this game, and I'm going to talk about a few other things today. But Mark, I wanted to ask you, tell me about the worker shortage.
Yeah. So lately, you know, I've got my other radio show, and I've talked to a lot of business people, and I'm heavily involved with the skilled trades and helping the schools, and we love to help the students. So we've got one gentleman in here from Alfred State. He just started Monday, 2 days ago, and we knew, me and my daughter met him at a place, you know, having some wings up here, and I'm always looking, so we found a nice young man. I said, where do you go to college? He said, Alfred State. What do you take in welding? So one thing leads to another. We got him. It's a two-year program. They're about $21,000, $22,000 a year, so we got him in between the first year and second year, but he came on board. We're looking for good character, so nice young man, and you know, Dale that runs my shop, we're always looking, but a lot of these kids, Mike, we get the younger students from the high schools, they've never had any exposure to the metal shops, wood shops. They're not in the school, so we're trying to take students that never held a screwdriver, hammer, and train them, and it takes so much more time. I just this morning I talked to a teacher from our local Potter Road, it's called. It's a BOCES center. It's a school that just helps with skilled trade. So he came over. We took two students with him, and it's hard because we got to train them, and my guys are doing their job. But we took the two students that needed an internship program. They're in 12th grade. These students, they'll listen. You know, if they listen and they want to learn. The teacher came to meet them and, you know, see the environment they're in. And I had a good talk with them, and I said, geez, a lot of the kids that come over from the high schools and that, they can't even sweep. You know, with the broom they can sweep, but they can't run equipment or anything until they're 18. He said, you know, his students can, and it's interesting because it's called a CTE program. If they're CTE certified through New York, they certified this Potter Road BOCES. That allows these students to run any piece of equipment into my shop. I was happy to hear that, Mike. But he, you know, we're looking for these students. You would not believe, I had two gentlemen on my show yesterday, the worker shortage is just unbelievable. I had a bus come to the store, and the bus driver, we got talking. It was a local bus, brought 30, 40, you know, fine American customers over to our store yesterday. And the driver said, I own a collision shop with my husband, and a fairly large one. I said, how's that going? She liked my speech I gave to the bus about my story and then about the worker shortage. She goes, it's absolutely true. My husband's working in the collision shop, and I have three people we pulled back out of retirement that are working for us. That's it. There's no interns that are looking to get into collision work. She said, that is so sad, and that is a huge problem, because how does she sell this business later if she wants to retire? They've got three people that were retired. They got back out, and that is their team, and they're a fairly large collision shop. And these cars, Mike, aren't easy to repair. It's not like the old days. You got to be sharp. You got to know computers, equipment, and be top-notch mechanic. And she said, we can't find one. So it's sad. I mean, just in the last 2-3 weeks, before the pandemic, it was bad. It's very bad. And you cannot grow an economy with no workers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mentioned so many times, Mark, that there are such an amount of people who are living in poverty that could be trained. If they could only open up these training programs, right now some of the training programs would have to open up 24 hours a day just to bring the people looking to be trained. Many of the people are on a waiting list for 2 years. What do you do during the 2 years? I mean, you have to have some right. kind of income, some kind of job. This is all because of just what you're saying. There wasn't anything in the school that motivated them to think, wow, I think I could do this. And if they had that for 6 months or 4 months of the school year and decided to move to something else, it's not being discussed. I learned that through this campaign in Pennsylvania, where some of the elected people told me, well, we can't tell the schools what to do. I thought, what? I said, what? What are you talking about? Who's paying the schools to be operational? Oh, well, you know, it's part of the budget. What the hell is the budget? The budget represents our tax dollars, not the school board's tax dollars. You just say we are reinstating everything. And then it's always the same excuse. We don't have any more qualified people. Okay, then take them out of private industry. You're going to have to put some real dollars behind them for the first 5-8 years. But get these programs back in the schools. And quite frankly, I think a lot of the people that are now feeling, I don't know what I'm going to do, I have no future, would feel a lot better about themselves. We would have less crime, we would have less disappointment amongst people, but because they don't have that spirit of, look what I'm qualified to do. You know, we had many programs for graduation lately, and it's the same thing. However, I am noticing that in the graduation ceremonies, they are starting to talk more that we are offering this and we're offering nursing and, you know, this and that. Well, that's what we need also with the trades.
Yeah, we do. Mike, when I say I have an open house at General Welding, our plant's 48,000 square foot. We had it open last Friday. We give a free lunch. My brother's cooking the hot dogs and hamburgers. We had 100-plus people show up, but we give a tour. But we had a couple of young men come, and my guys took them around, and they came before. They just don't know where to go. Larkin's done my tour through my facility. It's impressive, and there's a lot to be seen, but this young man, he just didn't know where to go. Like you said, he didn't have it in high schools. He's out of high school. You know, he seems like a fine young man. He wants to get into the trades, and for us to start him from nothing takes a lot of time, and unfortunately my guys are busy working too, so we do the interns, but to start a young man from nothing that really knows, you know, never held a tool in his hand, it's hard. So we try to point him in the right directions, but there isn't a lot of programs that can just take him now without having 20,000 or more, you know, the first year. So it's a tough situation, but they've got to address it, and they've got to, you know, get an understanding on what's needed and what they have to change to accomplish that.
You know, if there's anything that I would like to see, it's the president and all the leaders of Congress and the House in Washington start talking about real, actual issues that are confronting America, society, our young people. Why are we having these problems? Why are so many people not prepared for the workforce? Why are there so many programs that don't have one opening for 15 months? How is that possible? What do you do for 15 months? And then you're going to have to pay for the program, which you could have received it if you were going to a public school supported by public tax dollars. Let me ask you this, Mark. If you were the guy in charge 13 years ago, how would you like to see things change in the business atmosphere of getting companies back to moving here in the United States?
You know, they've got to elect people that have been in business and actually are in our game and know what it takes to run a business. New York State's very, very tough. You know, we've got to start opening up. We've got to respect businesses. We got to start talking, though, uniting people. We got to start answering the problems that are out there instead of just deflecting them until the next election, Mike, because there's no change going on. We were busy, you know, before the pandemic, I was as busy. Things were rolling good, but the economy is very, very important. They got to make Made in America important. They got to help businesses and recognize, you know, what the rising costs that it's taken in what's happened. You know, right now we've got costs that are 30-40% higher than it was 2 years ago. You know, can you bring in enough money? I said it before. You know, can you bring in enough to pay the expenses and make a little profit so you can be healthy as a company and grow? I don't know. They're making it so difficult. And by not addressing any of the challenges and not even getting an understanding of what's going on, I don't see it changing.
I know. And it's depressing. And I saw so many people try to bring this up, even on the evening talk stations and all. And people believe that it's to be addressed for 5-6 minutes and then go on to the next same old subject, you know, talking against this one and that one. I just don't know what to do with them. That's why I appreciate those people who promote our broadcast, promote our commentaries, who promote National Small Business Weekend, because in some places that those kinds of movements are still considered controversial. Let's turn for a minute to Larkin. Larkin, we've been watching Mark for a while. What do you think about his 13th anniversary?
Well, Michael, good morning. Good morning to Bruce. Good morning, Henry. But Mark, a special good morning to you. Nobody knows how to celebrate like Mark Handel. I have, in fact, toured that plant, and it's amazing, the structure they were building for the government. The time I went through, I just stood there and stared at it for quite a while. But I got to tell you about your celebration, Mark. Clearly, you had me at free beer. You completely had
I knew
me
it.
At free beer.
That's how I had to get my friends there, Larkin.
Anyway, don't be surprised if you see Larkin show up on Saturday.
Yeah. So let me. I'm torn between two subjects. The first one I'm going to talk about real quickly is what I think is the true dilemma in our country. I know we have to bring the trades back. I know we have to do this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, all of it is for naught if the American citizens just don't give a damn.
Don't participate. You're right.
We elected a mayor in Jacksonville, a Democrat, kind of a setback for DeSantis when he backed the Republican Davis, Mr. Davis, very heavily. A lot of trips up here to help him. And Donna Deegan, the female, beat him by 2 percentage points, which is in a race as close as we thought that was going to be. Now, I have not, I can't find the numbers, and it's because I know they're trying to hide them from me, but I know the turnout. I just know the turnout in Philadelphia was disastrous.
Yes.
It was absolutely disastrous. And the fact that people can be so critical of school boards and so critical of our elected officials, and yet they don't participate in the main function they have as a citizen of this country, it's deplorable. And I plan to speak to my children today, and if any one of them who had an opportunity to vote didn't vote, I'm cutting them out of the will. You talk about free beer. There won't be a free beer from Daddy for a long time. It's absolutely absurd.
Is this absolutely absurd?
Well, my vote doesn't count.
We knew, and you know, from working in Philadelphia, Larkin, and from working in the election system, that for years and years, it's just getting worse and worse all over the country, not just Philadelphia.
The only good thing
about this. The person who won, Sherelle Parker, is someone who has a lot of our ideas. And speaking with her directly and with her people on the campaign, I think that she will discuss. She's even talking about keeping the school kids in for longer day in classes. And when I mentioned to her about the trades, she said, well, all those are things that we should have been talking about 20 years ago. And yet there's been no cheerleader in this Commonwealth of ours that has done that. So maybe as the first female mayor of Philadelphia, she will take the plunge and try to get the schools in Philadelphia with the trades back. I mean, I'll hunt her down and see what we can do. But Sherelle likes, to be out with the public and all. So, well, let's see how it's going to be. You did hear last week, Larkin and everybody else, the presentations that we had from Alan Dahm and also from Jeff Brown, two business people. Now, all of them together, working together. Now that the election is over, I think it's time for Sherelle Parker and everybody else to get together and see. And remember one thing, the election, final election, does not take place until November. No matter what people tell me, oh, Michael, this is the end and all because the Republicans are not going to participate and blah, blah. No, the election should be ongoing until November. Do you agree with that, Larkin?
Well, I agree, but I think you're making the same mistake that the entire city makes, and that is that you're assuming that Sherrill Parker is the next mayor.
Right.
You know, you're just saying she's going to do this, she's going to do that. There's an awful lot of discussion that needs to be had.
Absolutely. And I would even say this morning, I was very pleased to hear, I was listening to another radio broadcast on my way down, and the girl on that station said, I will welcome David O. and Sherrill Parker to come on our broadcast during the spring, late spring, and through the summer. And I thought to myself, okay, and I know this person, this is a quality person too, let's keep that going, because I've already told them that they're welcome to come on our broadcast and they're welcome to go to all the others. No, there is no guarantee. Time, we have a long time to go till November. Oh no, I don't like that when people say, oh, this is the heir apparent or something. That's totally inappropriate.
The article that was done nationally on the Philadelphia election didn't even mention David O.
Right.
Didn't mention who or next what. The discussion was produced was about, well, Sherrill's a new mayor. You might as well start calling her Madam Mayor. She's there.
Right. I know both of them, and I made my feelings known that no matter what, this is the beginning of the campaign that ends in November. And everybody says, well, you know, because most of the time what people like to do is when this is over in Philadelphia, they just want to forget about what's going on and move on, just like you said. Did you see that in your local paper?
Yes. I mean, that's, in essence, the problem that we have everywhere. People want to complain, but they really don't stand behind anything.
Right.
I listen to parents who look me square in the eye and say the school board is just buggered. I mean, they're buggered up. They're not doing the right things. And I said, excuse me, when was the last school board meeting that you went to? Well, I've never been to one. Oh, so you're convinced that somebody's told you this? I mean, that's why C-SPAN is the greatest channel on television right now, because you can't tell me what a guy says from the podium if I stood there and listened to him speak to me. So, this is a terrible word, but this country's screwed. Yep. I mean, we're in just really, really, really bad shape.
But Larkin, it happened.
Imagine what happens if, by some strange circumstance, we're challenged and to a war. We're challenged to defend ourselves. What happens then? All these great citizens going to run to pick up a rifle to defend the country? They're going to say, whoa. You want me to fire a gun at somebody else? No, I'm not doing that.
You know, Larkin, as we were talking the other day, Henry and I said to Henry, I gave him a particular country, and I said, look this country up to see when mandated service to the country ended. It was actually in the year 2008. Is that right, Henry? Yes, it was 2008. Before that, for many, many years, every young person, when they get out of school, had to give no less than 1 year of service to the country. And that year, by the way, could have been used for additional training for what was needed in the industries of the country, in the armed forces, whatever your choice was. We don't have anything that way in America, and we haven't had it since they cut the draft, from what I'm told. Now, when the draft was cut, people were, you know, at least knowing that they would have to spend a year or two. I don't know how many years the draft took you in for, but you at least signed up. They knew what was what. That is something we're missing. We're not taking account of the people who are in the system right now who could and need our help to get to the next step. There was a graduation ceremony, Larkin. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, suggestions like this were made by one party to the other party in Washington, D.C. You want to, over this debt issue that we have, you want to save money? Okay, let's just take back the money that we have sitting in the Treasury, billions of dollars, for COVID-19 relief, and just put it back into circulation.
Yeah.
No. That money's earmarked for people. No, well, listen, it was our own president who declared that the pandemic is over.
May the 11th, it was over.
The one party suggested, well, why don't we make people who are taking unemployment, if they're qualified, let's give them a job.
Right.
It doesn't have to be picking up paper or a litter or whatever, but let's find them a job in the government and move that money out of there and into the expense side
right.
so that we can fill the huge gaps that we have. And, you know, the other day my garbage truck came by and the guy riding on the back of it lifting the cans in was almost in a coat and tie. And I was standing out there working in the garage. I walked over and I said, hey, you guys are really starting to dress up now. I like it. And he laughed and said, I'm a division manager here for waste management in the city of St. Augustine. So we're so shorthanded that we wouldn't have been able to run this truck today had I not decided to put on a pair of coveralls and jump on the.
Is that unbelievable? You know, Larkin, you just brought up a subject. It's very interesting. There's so much being discussed in the news media, the national news media, about the debt limit in Washington. Well, I feel they should be talking about unnecessary spending for years and years and years, not just the COVID money, for years and years. There's so much unnecessary money being designated and not discussing a new debt limit, but how we're going to go back 2 years, 3 years, and not waste this money. What you just said is absolutely the key to success. All these people who are collecting something should be put on some level of employment. And that would train people. And I'll tell you, they would be much happier. I started to tell you about a graduation ceremony. One of the people who was the speaker said, I would encourage all of you to make yourself a resume. And then when you go out and you sell yourself to wherever you're going, you have that backup information about where you attended, where you graduated from. The problem is most of our people do not have a resume.
And the ones that do will literally hand you a business card, and on the back of it, it'll be an email, an address, www.larkinconley.com. Go on there. That's all my information.
Yeah, that's it. This is not the way people are even afraid to have job fairs these days, because what comes to the job fair doesn't have a resume. And a lot of the businesses that were going to the job fair say, I can't stand there and be writing down all this person has to say, or give them a sheet of paper to make up a brief resume as to why they would be a great employee. People, this should be a matter of something that you do at least once a year. It should be a must. And you put yourself a resume. If a Mark was looking to make a resume, his resume would be pages and pages of success. He took something that was difficult and he turned it into his store. And here we are 13 years after going, I think Mark said that he started out with 400 products. Here he is getting near 14,000. That's a success. And what he's doing is very interesting. He's bringing together business people who are making things, being able to highlight their products, being able to sell their products. That's something that we're not selling in our schools anymore. We are not selling that in our schools. We are not selling that to our young people. And their lack of resumes is certainly a way that shows me that we've gone on too long. Just like in Washington, they're showing these pictures of the president and all these other people from the House and Senate sitting there talking about the new debt limit. And when I appear on a radio station, I say, why do we have to have a new debt limit? All we're doing is we're putting ourselves and we're putting our children, our grandchildren, and their children in additional debt. How does that work? Who the hell wants to do that? There has to be a total turnaround in ideas. People don't want to take away the stuff that they're giving away because they feel there would be riots. There would be people harassing them. They'd never get reelected. They try, especially in those jobs that are only in there for 2 years in Congress and all. They don't want people harassing them. This is the problem. I speak to these people. They scare me. Some of them actually scare me. Well, I already have the rest of my 9 months prepared. I said, are you promoting anything with job skills? Well, Michael, that's controversial. Remember, Mark, I mentioned that was controversial. I said this to this guy 2 months ago, and he said to me, it's still controversial with a lot of people because if the father or mother, who's now in their 40s and 50s, did not have this training in public schools, why are they going to push their children to get it now? I said, well, that doesn't make sense to me because a mother or father would want their child to be a success, to be available. I mean, we have all kinds of services that are begging. When I say begging, I mean begging for employees. We get them. We get calls to our agency all the time and asking, do you have this? We'll train. Just what you are going through, Mark, is what everybody in the United States is going to. And because they don't have a resume, they don't know who they're really talking to. Talk is words. It's air. It doesn't mean anything unless you have the person walks out the door and you have a little piece of paper that reminds the person you want to hire what they're about. It doesn't make sense. I think that it's time for the president, the House, the Senate to do less talking about how they're going to put us in debt and more talking about how they're going to take us out of debt. Do you agree with that, Bruce?
Yes, I do. I basically agree with what you're saying. A farm worker isn't going to have a resume. A plumber probably isn't. Well, may have a resume, but probably unlikely to have a resume.
Well, a plumber, maybe a farmer. A farmer is going to want to know that the person he's looking to hire has worked somewhere in the industry.
Well, yeah.
And a plumber, well, if you had no training or any type of classes in plumbing, you're not going to want to put that person on your staff and have to train him from scratch. It's that kind of a deal. We're not taking a look at what would help businesses here in the United States of America. The reason I'm very disturbed with the talks that are going on at the White House, when they were running for Congress, Larkin, Mark, Bruce, you'll all remember it very well. They said they were going to do something to restore the production of energy, gas, and everything else here in the United States of America. They're talking about debt limits, sitting around those fancy White House chairs, talking about a debt limit. How about finding out why inflation has tormented businesses, tormented families, tormented every person in the United States? That is not being discussed. If that was, the national media would cover it, but it's not. Even the national media is having problems because all of their costs have gone up because traveling around to the various places they want to do reports and all on, it all costs gas. It costs time. People have to be paid according to the service that they're doing, whether it's on the weekend. The gas price doesn't go down during the weekend, not during the weekend. This is what's going on. And yet they're sitting around in the White House. It's a shame they don't invite me to come. I would give them a little bit of a talking to. But no, I would like to see the energy get back to the independence that we were focused on for a number of years. Get that Keystone pipeline back. Mark, you're talking about 40% more costs to operate your business. How long can that continue?
You can't force this electric. We're paying enough in New York State. When they cut off fossil fuel, they made a huge mistake for many, many, many reasons, and it was a lot of my industry that was affected. But when they're forcing, it'd basically be these big toasters that draw so much electric to heat my 48,000 square foot plant. Our grids and electric systems aren't even set up for it. The initial cost for the equipment would be phenomenal, unbelievable. And then to run them, to heat a building that's really a big tin can like mine, it just doesn't make any sense. And, they can't. There's just people putting these rules and mandates out that have no idea of the cost it's going to force these business owners to incur. And they can't charge enough to cover it.
And that's exactly the reason that more businesses are going to be attracted out of the United States. Every hour of the day, by the way, every hour of the day, there are people from foreign countries talking to business owners in this country and telling them how better they could do, how more cost efficient it would be if you would have the product made in their country and just shipped over to America, ready to be put in the store case or on the rack or whatever, and ready to go. You would have no employee costs, no insurance costs, no heating and all that stuff. You would just be able to be an executive, group of executives in offices, and all the costs of operating the businesses would be somebody else's problem. Somebody else's problem is the words they actually use when talking to these people. Now, there's nobody in the United States going around doing just the opposite, keeping your business here in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Florida, giving them the A to Z reasons why those companies should relocate in Florida. And there's one more thing which was very good. A businessman gave me a piece of information which I liked very much. He said to me, Michael, here is part of the problem in America. I said, tell me. I'll use it as part of something coming from Tom, a great businessman. He said to me, you may be in there for 3 or 4 years as an elected official. The next elected official says, no, we need more money for taxes. Taxes are going up. He said, that immediately helps a business say, thank you, I might as well do it foreign and just bring it over here and put it on my store shelf and give it to the customers. This is what we're lacking. If the president, all those leaders that are sitting there in the White House talked about how are we going to bring more enthusiasm about opening here in the United States of America, it's never discussed. Nothing. It's even when you watch any of the shows, they're flogging one another. This one's no good. That one's no good. What is good? What's the solution to make something good? You have an answer for that, Mark, on your 13th anniversary celebration of the Made in America store?
Good. You got to wake up happy. You got to have your drive in you. I woke up. I love America. I don't like it. I love it. And, I don't know. I see a lot of great people still in these tough, tough times. You know, the buses, I've always said, tour buses full of people come to my store. They're delivered to me, and we have a great time, and they love to see what Americans are making. And we always said, Mike, me, you, and our team, support the country, live in 50-50 fair trade. But if you live here, you should support here. You know, how do we make things good? You have to have the want. You know, you have to have the right people that are unselfish. It's called level 5 leadership. You know, you got to treat people like you want to be treated. It's pretty simple, Mike. But we've got to get our politics are too one-sided or the other. They have to start communicating. They have to start facing the problems they have and start trying to find answers and working as a team on them. Otherwise, you know, it should be one country, one goal. You know, get healthy again.
Right? Exactly. And that, you know, I riled a person up recently. I told them again that I am for a three-party system. And this very nice elected person said to me, why? And I said, well, because if there were three people sitting at the table, three parties, and one party walks away, you still have two parties to talk. Right now, you only have two parties. If one party walks away from the negotiating table, you have nothing. And this is something that we're not thinking about. This are people. And if I asked you, Mark, who is the cheerleader in your area for bringing businesses back to your area? Do you have a person I can be directed to call today, to call that office?
Now, that's a tough one. You know, we've had some that ran that would have been great but didn't win, you know, in politics. You know, New York's a tough place. We've seen, unfortunately, way more businesses leave our state in the last 3-4 years than ever. You know, the population's going down. It's just a shame. No, I don't see that attraction. Even, you know, that runs our, you know, Buffalo, the people that run the tourism, and they used to have 12 people. Now they've got one. And if you want to sell an area and grow an area, you got to have the marketing team. Marketing's 100% of the business. I used to say 80%. Marketing's everything, but you sell your area, and you get people to come in, and you give them incentives to do that. And unfortunately, it's just been going the other way, treating businesses harder and harder and tougher and tougher. They haven't made it easy enough because they don't have an understanding of what it takes to run one.
You know, I'm going to ask Larkin the same question. Larkin, by the way, who is the department in Florida that you go to if you're looking to open a new business?
Well, if you're looking to, most people head to the banker.
Before you go to the bank, is there somebody that offers some kind of consultation and speaks to you about?
Well, again, it depends. I've got a couple comments I can make about this. One is it depends on the size of your business. How many people are you genuinely going to employ? Is the state going to spend a lot of time and money on somebody who we know how important he is to the economy, but he's only going to employ 7 people? Our governors are traveling all over the world, Israel, and all over the world, trying to entice them to, you know, bring their businesses back to Florida because of our tax situation and stuff like that. There isn't anybody here historically, and Mark will validate this. Historically, this job was supposed to be done by the
Department of Commerce.
No, not the Department of Commerce. It's Chamber of Commerce. That's what they did. I mean, and they were all local guys who understood business and really wanted to make inroads as far as getting people to build things that are related to what they build, you know, related industry type things. But unfortunately, and I dealt with a lot of chambers, unfortunately, the Chamber of Commerce, Buffalo, New York, the Chamber of Commerce in places like Queens, New York, the Chamber, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they're just political machines.
Right. Well, and actually, on a national level, the National Chamber of Commerce is in Washington, D.C., but it has virtually no contact with the local chambers of commerce. None.
Well,
so there is what you're saying. It's a political system there in Washington, but it has no contact with with the state systems.
I mean, you wanted something done, and you needed to do some lobbying. You wanted the government to lift this or approve that or get behind this or get behind that. They usually went to the chamber, and the chamber would say, yeah, we'll send our lobbyists, and we'll get that done. Not anymore.
Now there is something that we're already not going to be running anybody for Congress. That's something these people from Congress should be addressing in the next election, which probably will now begin in 24. Yeah, and end in November of 24, and the swearing in will be on 25, early 25. I think the people running for Congress should have this put on their doorstep. What are we going to do? Who is the person in Washington? And highlight all the groups. You're right, when they have all these meetings of the chambers of commerce and, you know, all these, I'm sorry to tell you, when the people go and they leave, I don't know, hear anything. I don't know anything. There's nobody speaking about anything. And you know, Larkin and Bruce and Mark and every person listening and who will listen to our rebroadcast, it is very easy to spend someone else's tax dollars or spend someone else's savings money without doing anything good with it. And this is a problem. It's not easy to earn money, and bank accounts don't fill themselves.
Well, it's just like our current president. He's a lifelong politician, Congress, Senate, a vice president, now president. His net worth is $10 million. How's that happen? How the hell does that happen? Nobody can give me an answer. Nobody.
It's too controversial to ask that question. When I ask something, people hear the radio and they say, didn't you say that was controversial? It's too controversial to ask him. Nobody wants to ask the president or anybody else, how did he get so much money? It's insane.
Well, there's certain things that have to be disclosed. And sometimes they're disclosed, and as soon as his tax returns are released, as happened with Trump. I mean, look at Trump. Here comes a committee 2 days ago that announces that all of these charges against Trump were made up. Now, I'm not defending Trump. I'm just telling you, if America elected him president, then he ought to be able to be president under the guise of the three, the system of Congress and Supreme Court and the executive branch. That man never got a chance to be president. Ever. I mean, he was constantly defending himself.
Yeah, that's right.
He was just pathetically harassed. Now, again, I'm not defending him as an individual or his policies.
Now, Larkin,
just saying what's fair is fair, and what they did to Donald Trump was not the slightest bit fair, especially when you figure out how they hid stuff about Biden. They're still hiding it. They'll wait till Biden leaves office, and then all of a sudden it'll come to light.
You know, Larkin, the way they're meeting in Washington over this debt limit, I would ask, and I have asked, what can we do to cut wasteful spending that was authorized 20, 30 years ago, things that are no longer needed in the United States of America? Not needed. They're outdated. With cell phones and all the internet and everything else, we don't need a lot of these things. But those departments are still operating. And I personally feel that all the departments should document exactly what they're doing on the internet and where their budget is going. You are the one who said we need a balanced budget in America. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And people have said to me, Larkin's right. How do you get that to the right people in Washington for somebody to say it? And they said, a lot of these younger people are not going to say it. I said, well, maybe we have to ask somebody who's ready to retire to bring that up. What can we do to document everything that we're doing, to put it on the record, to get rid of what we don't need anymore. There are a lot of people who are retiring right now and tell me, Michael, for the last 10 years, I was just filling in time. A lot of the stuff that we did was already computerized. A lot of the stuff that we received was all through the internet. It was nothing to do where we needed typists and stuff like that. But because they had contracts, they were on the civil service, they just kept them in place. And, you know, that's the way it goes. These things all have to be reviewed. They all have to be reviewed, and we have no person ready to bring it up. There has to be somebody in the system that really is willing to take, because the public trust, as I mentioned before, has already dropped to an all-time low, and people don't want to get involved because they feel, well, nobody's listening to me. Nobody trusts the people in elected office. So why get involved? Why waste your time? It's not worth it. This is where we have to do a lot of changes in the United States. But the problem we have, maybe Mark, at your party on Saturday there, marking your 13th anniversary, there will be an elected person come over and somebody can ask him. Maybe he could come on the radio and talk about what can we do to get more things documented properly on the internet so that the people see where their tax dollars are going. Because checking accounts don't fill themselves automatically. They have to be filled with hard-earned dollars, grants, or whatever. Without that, you go down the drain. Uh-oh. You hear by the music, Henry is giving warning that it's time. I want to say, I thought this was a great broadcast today. We're talking more common sense than you're hearing on most stations. I want to say thank you to Larkin Conley. I want to say thank you to Bruce Bassett Powell. And I want to say thank you to Mark Andel, and congratulations for all of the years of great service that you've done there in your area, Alma, New York, and for the people in the Buy American Made campaign and for American workers. Until we get together again on Saturday or next Wednesday here at 11 on 860, I want to say thank you for your participation. You can send me your suggestions and your comments to michael@americanworkersradio.com. Until we get together again, may God bless you and may God bless America.
Thank you guys for all your kind words. I'm honored to be your friends and to be on your show.
Congratulations, Mark.